Okay. Can we take a moment and invite the God of your understanding into this room? And if you don't have a God, I'll lend you mine for the next hour. It's always like I'm coming home when I come here. My claim date is April 24, 1994, and for that I'm grateful. And when I put on my GPS to get out here, because things have changed. So see, I can find this place with my eyes closed because AR saved my life. I was over on Turnersville Road, and everything is just real different. But I saw the tops of the building. And I'm like, there it is. There it is. Because this is home for me. I need to let you know that when I was here, there was two buildings. The main building and this one over here was the woman's dorm. And I remember sitting under that tree over there processing my life. Because, see, somehow I didn't understand. And let me share with you that I'm originally from Oakland, California. I tell people I'm straight out of Oakland. And I came to Austin not because I wanted to get clean. I came to Austin because I stole somebody's dope and they were going to kill me. So, he gave me a heads up. He was like, you know, B, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, well, not just going to let you kill me. You know, I'm going to have to go. And so my family, who was tired of me, they didn't care why I was leaving Oakland. They just wanted me to leave Oakland. You understand what I'm saying? So look, they probably chipped in and got me a ticket. And my only sister was here, and I had to tell her that I was clean, so I left Oakland with no time clean, and I got in the plane and ascended up into the heavens, and when I landed, I had 9 months clean. That didn't last long, because anything that's built on a lie is not gonna stand. But before just getting to that, I need to let you know that I'm a card-carrying member of the No Matter What Club. And what I mean by that is, no matter what, I haven't found a reason to get high in 22 years. No matter what. And that I'm proud of, because see, if you're a dope fiend like I was a dope fiend, 22 years is more than a miracle. If you were a dope fiend like I was a dope fiend, if you stole from your mother, if your kids got taken from you, if you turned tricks, then you might understand what I'm talking about, and you might be able to hear what I'm saying, because it didn't matter whether it was liquid, gases, or solids. It didn't matter whether you were pitching or whether you were catching. The game is still baseball. You understand what I'm saying? So by the time I got here, I had done everything that was unimaginable. I had no self-esteem. I had no self-worth. I was nothing. Look, I was a defect looking for some character. You know? And it took about 2 months, because I got here February the 5th of 1994 with real long fingernails and 6-inch heels. I need to let you know, in my mid-30s today, I'm like about a year short of 60 years old. Yeah, the cocaine preserved me. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. So my first drug was fantasy. I remember as a little girl, I believed in the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, probably long past the expiration date. Because it was something about believing in fantasy that just kind of turned me on and made my boat float. And I understand that because I didn't want to let those things go. I need to let you know that the fantasy only went on for me to believe that I was going to find a knight in shining armor that was going to take me away before about 17, 18, 20, 25, 30, 35 years. I was kissing toes, so I finally had to let that one go. I need to let you know that I know you've been kissing toes too. And so that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Let me share with you. Let me share with you. I never put down one drug without picking up the other. Nobody could have told me that Mad Dog 2020 or that Tyrolia or that Spinata was going to take me to a crack house in Oakland. I never put down one drug without picking up another. I need to tell you that education is a great big part of my story because I come from people that insisted that you become educated. Why am I saying that? Because active addiction has no respect of your education. I need to let you know that active addiction has no respect for your money. I need to let you know that active addiction has no respect for the fact that you are the younger child and you used to get in your way. Active addiction don't care. It'll tear your behind up. You feel me? So I need to let you know that when I got here to Austin Recovery, I was beaten. I was beaten. I was beaten. I came to Austin and I did what any good dope fiend would do. I found myself a trick in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that thought he could pay his way. You know, some of you guys talk about 13-step, but I don't know what he thought he was doing. But he like wound up with Godzilla's little sister and I took him for everything that he was worth and everybody put me out. Again, 2,000 miles from home, and it was something in that moment where I understood that I didn't come 2,000 miles to smoke crack again. And I need to let you know that when I got to Texas, LaDonna was waiting for me in Texas. And I need to let you know that when I was in active addiction, losing my children didn't stop me from smoking. My mother dying didn't stop me from smoking. My family turning their back for me didn't stop me from using. There was absolutely nothing that stopped me from using. Getting my cars repossessed didn't make me think, well, could it be the drugs? Getting evicted didn't make me think, well, could it be the drugs? Nothing, I mean nothing, would stop me from using. And you got to feel to heal. So I don't just do your thing, baby. If you got to cry, cry. Because let me tell you something. Tears is liquid prayers. I need to let you know that. And that's a good thing. Because I sat up under that tree and I cried for about 30 days. Because everything came tumbling back. The failed marriages, the college education wasted, everything came flooding back. And I need to let you know that if it wasn't for this place being put in place, I might not be standing here today. I thank God for another shot at life. And I need to let you know that when I got here and got clean, all my defects didn't fall off. I don't know about y'all. And the second step in the Narcotics Anonymous book, it says, first we stop using, then we experience the pain of not using. So there was some pain that I had to experience because there were some things that I had done, and they don't just go away because you decide to get clean, LaDonna. They don't just go away. Life is going to keep on showing up whether you have a clean day or not. People are going to talk about you. They're not going to talk to you. They're going to stab you in your back. But it's only one thing you got to worry about. It's how I can keep that rig, that pipe, that alcohol out of my system. That's all that I have to worry about. And then you can become a card-carrying member of the No Matter What Club. I need to let you know that sponsorship is the heartbeat of what we do. Sponsorship is the cornerstone of what we do. So I got myself a sponsor. And I remember there was a woman that walked into the rooms one day. And she looked like my mother. She put me in the mind of my mother. And by that time, my mom had been gone for about 4 years. Because I need to let you know that I had a mother that propped me up and pushed me up and posted me up and paid rent and took care of kids and bought food and got my hair done and got my nails done and got my clothes right, because she didn't want me to look like a dope fiend. She didn't want me to act like that. So my mother, look, my mother had to die for me to get clean. So if you sitting here and you still got your mama, I need to tell you, you don't want to feel that pain. Because the one person that I should make amends to, I'll never be able to make amends to her on this side. Never. The person that loved me the most, that prayed for me the hardest. But I inherited her disease of addiction. My mother was also an alcoholic. So if you've ever been raised by an alcoholic, or you have an alcoholic in your family, you understand what I'm talking about. You never know what mother you're going to come home to. Good mother, bad mother. Sober mother, drunk mother. Verbally abusive mother, or very, very loving mother. So I learned how to dance people's dance. I learned how to dance to get along. I learned how to dance so I could make sure everything was all right. And all that came flooding back when I sat under that tree. I did everything I thought my mother wanted me to do that she couldn't do as an African-American woman in Alabama. So I exceeded far above and beyond what she ever could have done. If I thought she wanted me to do it, I did it. But what I found out is I never learned how to live for myself. So I just anesthetized it with drugs. See, what I'm talking about is once you get a sponsor, you can go back to the exact nature of what's going on. The exact nature. I'm talking about, in another book I read, it says you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So my job is to become a fruit inspector. You know? So I need to let you know that as I sat up under that tree and my whole life passed by me, I made a decision. I made a decision. Now, people will say things like this. Don't say you'll ever use. You don't know. Look, I made a decision when I got here. I don't care what comes down the pipe. I'm not going to use again. Mike, did you make that decision? Lane, did you make that decision? Will, did you make that decision? There are some of us that made that Aubrey, did you make that decision? Some of us, I'm talking about the No Matter What Club. I'm talking about the soldiers. I'm talking about people who didn't come here to play. I'm tired of getting high. Active addiction took everything I got. I'm not using no more dope. I don't care. I'm not. Look, you can say that if you really want to say it. Or check this out. If you don't really know that, say that too. All this sound good, but I want to smoke some weed. You know, get honest with yourself. Get honest with yourself. Because I need to let you know that if you get honest, then the solutions can come. As long as you sitting up in here for 20, however many days, talking about, I'm going to do this thing. You know. And I need to let you know a few other things. Because of my relationship with Austin Recovery as a client, I became an employee of Austin Recovery. Amen. I was there very first, and I proudly say this. Will was sitting in the back. Will said, you were their first direct care staff. I was the very first one they ever had. They made me a position because I was always up in their face. How y'all doing? We may as well pay her because she ain't going nowhere. So they made me a position. And I remember the first day I walked on the unit, there was a woman named Janine Harris. She was my counselor. And I'll never forget it. I need to say this because she wasn't a black woman. She wasn't my age. She was younger than me. She had this long, pretty blonde hair. And we were sitting in our office, and I was full of my arrogance. And I said, what you gonna do to help me? Because that's how I got here. Serving all the attitude. What can you show me about not getting high? She says, LaDonna, I've never used drugs. You just might want to listen to me. I had enough sense not to. You know how we had them conversations in our head? I was like, tearing her. This such and such don't know who I am. Well, never would come out my mouth. You know what? Look, if you having a whole bunch of conversations in your head, you need to get on top of that. And that's why, look, and I need to tell you, that's why I talk so loud, because I talk over the voices in your head, because I know they're there. I've been dealing with addicts for a long time. And I know how it is. We sitting there trying to focus, and that head is talking about who she thinks she is. I don't want to hear this, huh? So they gave me a position at Austin Recovery, and it was like the first time I felt like I was at home next to the time when I got clean. Because I need to let you know that I've always been a good old church girl, always. But let me tell you something else. Church girls get high when they don't know who they are. So once I cleaned up, I began to like it. And most of us don't stay clean long enough to like it. We don't invest in it. So therefore, the dope always looks good. But if you just hang on long enough to get to a place where you like it, you'll stay. And at about 6 months clean, I realized I liked it. Because if you wake up on Monday and you don't go to sleep until Thursday, you might be a dope fiend. You know what I'm saying? If you get paid on Friday and you don't have any money on Sunday, you might be a dope fiend. You know, if you stealing from your parents or anybody you love and then help them look for what you stole, you might be a dope fiend. And I have to get to the exact nature of being a dope fiend. And then once I get to the exact nature of being a dope fiend, I can do something about it. And after about 5 years of working as a direct care staff, I went to school, I became a counselor, I worked at Austin Recovery for several years, and I've learned and I've met some really beautiful people that we have lifelong relationships, no matter what comes down the pipe. It is such an honor. I need to just stop and say, when I got that call from Chris, and I've done this several times, I've done this a lot, and it's always an honor anytime they call me for just one more time. So I must be, and they know I'm crazy. They know a lot of stuff about me. I've cleaned up my language and all kind of stuff. You guys don't know the first generation was some of y'all sitting there looking at me, Mike is like, wow. Mike is like, wow. Yeah, because there was another LaDonna point too. There wasn't nothing to play with. You know what I'm saying? But as we grow older and recovery becomes more a part of our life, and I'm a grandmother of an 18-year-old boy and a 5-year-old boy. He's 18. He just graduated from high school. And he's lived with me ever since he popped out of his mom's womb, because she had him when she was 13 or 14, I believe it was. And it was something in me. I was very young in my recovery, and I felt so bad because she was so messed up for me. And she was looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. And the only person that I could blame was myself, because I had abandoned my children. And what I knew was that no one else on my watch was going to be hurt like I hurt them. That was the only thing I knew. So I became a raging codependent. And that was another round of step work. You know what I'm saying? Because I made a decision the day my grandson came out that I got you, partner. You don't have to worry about it, because granny is here. You know what I'm saying? And he was a great little kid. And a wonderful little kid. And then about 9 months later, I fell in love with one of my coworkers at Austin Recovery. And we had a son. And so I know, oops. It's like, how you explain that one? You know, oh, we just friends. You know, so my boys grew up together, and now they are wonderful men. And I say that because I failed miserably with my daughters. See, I have a 33-year-old that when she was 5, when somebody rang the doorbell, she'd take my cocaine plate and put it under the couch. And I was so ignorant. I used to think my daughters got my back. That was my ignorance. Those 3-4-year-olds should know anything about you using drugs, where they know to put your apparatus somewhere. So when she had her baby, I felt responsible for that. And when I got her back and she told me some of the things that she told me that happened, anybody that didn't have the foundation that I had would have used. But I told you, I made a promise to myself that no matter what happened, I wasn't going to use. And we made it through. And man, she's just like I was at 33. Sometimes I just look at her and I'm like, all right, keep on. But about 5 years ago, she had a little boy, and it kind of slowed everything down. And I'm talking about the gifts of recovery, because I could stand here and talk about the vagaries of addiction all day long. But I need to tell you that recovery has been good to me. Do I have a whole lot of money? No. Mm-mm. No. But God gives me everything I need and a little bit more. I need to let you know that the greatest asset that I have is peace. I got some peace for your ass. You hear me? I had to say that. You see, I was looking around for the babies. It's like, just one time. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't be me if I didn't just, you know, I got some peace, man. And God wasn't finished with me because he made me a counselor. Because see, all that came from hard work, but the grace of God. And what is the grace of God? Is unmerited favor. Because I've worked the steps. I believe I got witnesses in here that know I'm a step worker. I'm a step worker. I'm almost 60 years old and I'm somewhere writing step work. Because this disease never sleeps. And I done seen old people use again. You ain't gonna get me. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable one more time. Right? And so therefore I can recognize that my grandson, who is like missing out on life, he's 18, I drug his tail through high school. Drug him. Well, we just gonna thug this out, partner, because you graduating. I'm talking about going to the school and walking down the halls with him. Jamin, is that your grandmother? Yes.
You going to school.
You know what I'm saying? And on the days that I couldn't go, his 30-year-old auntie went. Oh, yeah, partner, you going to school. Failure is not an option up in this camp, trust me. You starting to act like you getting hired. I got a UA cup on top of the refrigerator. I got something for you. He's not talking to me right now. I was blessed with a new car after some years. He came down the stairs the other night. He said, Granny, give me your keys. My keys? You better go out there and get in that old truck. You better go get in my truck. And that was the one I raised the bid. He didn't want to drive my. Boy, you better go. What I'm talking about is that I'm a whole lot healthier than what my mom was. I am a whole lot healthier today as a direct result of sponsorship, step work. It began with treatment, letting one woman know the whole woman, one man know the whole man, being humble enough to examine when I'm wrong, to have the fortitude to stand up and say, I don't know how to do this. Because I need to tell you that I'm still a newcomer at being 60. I ain't never been 60 before. I don't know how you're supposed to act. I took out running the other day and messed my knees up. My daughter said, girl, you're old. You old, girl, quit. You know what I'm saying? Nah. And then right in the middle of the game, I need to let you know that in 2009, I lost a dear friend. And it set my world upside down. I have buried people that I love, my father, people I grew up with. But in 2010, I got called to preach. I'm like, I know you lying. You're right. Okay. And I found that very hard because I knew it from the time I was 27, but I did not want to start having sex. I did not want to start being obedient. I did not want to follow the rules because you know the rules. Y'all know the rules, right? Anybody grew up in a Christian household? It's some rules, and I didn't want to follow them rules. Right? So because of the rules, it kept me like at bay. And why am I telling you guys this? Because let me tell you something. I'm a street walking dope fiend. And if God can take me and turn me into the woman that he has turned me into today, then he can do it for you. Amen. That's all I'm saying. If he can do it for me, if he can make me a hymn-sewing, cookie-baking, Girl Scout leading, he can do it for you. Boo-boo kissing, you know, he can do it for you. I need to let you know that I'm a program director, and I don't even do this very often. I don't do this because titles don't matter. But the evidence of being clean is what matters. And see, if I don't give you the evidence, some of y'all might just think about the evidence. And that pushes you into staying just a little while longer. Because you gotta have staying power to keep a clean day. You got to. Because life is gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I remember the first time I worked the steps. Some beautiful things were going on in my life. And I got to my fourth step and I wrote it. And I remember when I shared it with my sponsor. I will never forget this. And I have about 10 rounds of step work under my belt. I applaud myself because every other year I work the steps, no matter what. I don't care. Why do you keep doing that? My cousin say, you still got any classes? I do. Well, tell me something. What happened if you stop? I'll probably start stealing your shit again. You need me to iron you something to wear? You know? Because see, you got to learn how to shut that stuff down. Because some of our families want us to get better, but they don't want us to get well. You better feel me. You better feel me. Some people want us to stop stealing their stuff, but they don't want you to get well. Because then that means they got to look at themselves. See, for the men, some of your wives like having all the money. I fix to get messy. They like it. They like for you to go, you know, they like to have control of the money. You go back talking about, you know, no. And they give you a phone because that's a high-tech tracking device. And you just check in with me every day, just want you to get better. And we have to learn to distinguish between the two. Okay. Right? Some of our parents want our children. Some of them want our children for financial gain. Some of them want, come on, can we talk? Some of them want our children because they love them. Some of them want our children so they can control us. Some of us need to be controlled. You know what I'm saying? So we got to be able to be clear-headed to untangle all this stuff. We have to be able to untangle the stuff. Because I was that grandmother. I turned into her. I have raised him. My daughter looked at me and said, still my child. Okay. So we need to understand. Because then when you turn around and say, Mom, could you pay my car? No, go on with your grown self, with your child. So I need to tell you that it takes me back to when I worked that first four step and I was broken down. And I remember telling my sponsor, some of those men I was with, I didn't even know their last names. This is the beauty of sponsorship. She said, girl, some of them brothers I was with, I didn't know their first name. So you have to be able to understand, because I'm the person who didn't leave much out. See, I came into recovery doing foul stuff. I came, all that foul stuff that I did in active addiction, until you do the work, you're going to keep doing that for a while. If you got here and you was a thief, you probably still a thief. You just a clean one. If you was a liar, you probably still a liar. You just a clean one. We got to look at it. You got to look at that stuff. And I need to tell you that while you're here, take advantage of it. Man, this is like will thrust you into to a way of living that will blow your mind if you allow it. And if you really get on your grind like you're supposed to, you ain't never going to have 30 days to just sit up on your butt. Nope. Because life happens. So take your vacation now. People ask me, LaDonna, when are you going to retire? I retired already. I'm in for the long haul, baby. I took my retirement in my 20s and have my 30s. So I'm going to be working to the rapture. You know what I'm saying? When I need to let you know. I don't see it. I'll just find something else to do. So all in all, and I'm not going to hold you all hostage, what I'm going to tell you is that this is a beautiful journey. This is a beautiful journey. If you're sitting in here and you don't know whether you have to, that you want to stay, I need to tell you to just sit. If your behind falls off, they used to say this when we came around. If your behind falls off, bring it to a meeting, and if we can't get it back on, we'll show you a new way to sit. And I don't hear that kind of stuff anymore because everybody wants to be so politically correct. And you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You just can't hurt their feelings. And everybody brings you cigarettes so you'll stay. Because you know that's why they're bringing you shit, right? They just want you to stay here. They don't want to see you. They don't. They don't want to see you. They sick of you. They sick of us. By the time we get here, people be sick of us. And see, those of y'all that can smile and say that, you all right with it. You got the humility and know your family is sick of you. They'll pay for you to come so they can get 60 days of sleep. They just want 30 days of rest. You go to jail and they be talking about, whoo, thank you, Lord. I know where she is. At least I don't have to worry about nobody gutting her this month. You know? So we have to look at that stuff. And we have to understand this is the each one, teach one process. And we have to understand that everybody, look, I can't tell where you're supposed to be till I know how deep the hole was you came out of. So just because you know how to make your bed, nobody might have taught me how to do that. And just because you know how to keep a secret, I might not know how to do that. And just because you know how to budget your money, or just because you know you have more resources than I do, we suffer from the same illness, that spiritual malady, that thing that's on the inside that tells us that that last ass beating just wasn't that bad. That thing that's on the inside of me that tells me I can do one more. That thing that'll make you walk away from your children. That thing that'll make you walk away from your job. That thing that'll make you walk away from yourself. I'm talking about that thing. In my book, it calls it a something. A something. That same something will give us spiritual, physical, and mental decay. We have to be able to understand that when we're broken, the only thing we can do is get better. And I need to let you know this is a getting better process. I need to let you know that over the last 22 years, I got to know a me I never knew. I didn't know what I liked. I always wanted to know what you liked so I can line up with you. And I need to let you know that I put down dope and I picked up food. And then I ate myself into oblivion. And I need to let you know that my gift for my 60th birthday, look, I've been tearing up Mueller Lake. I'm fixing to walk all this weight off. Because at some point you will tell yourself, I can do it. I can do it. I really can save money. I really can cook dinner every night. I really can work a 40-hour a week job. I really can look at the phone and know it's a booty call and not pick it up. I really can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I don't have to. Look, I used to call it Detox Dave and Detox Betty, baby. Y'all be over there looking at each other. I mean, she cute. All I gotta do is clean that throw up off of her. You know what I'm saying? Two sickies don't make a well. Two sickies don't make a wellie. You gotta know that. You have to know that. I'm fixing to hate. You gotta know that. You know, leave it alone. If it's meant to be yours, I promise you God didn't give it to you in a treatment facility. I promise you that. Look, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to start wrapping this up. I was in a room about this big at Stratford House, and I used to do my deal in there, and there was this little guy, I guess his mother and father had met in treatment, and he was in treatment, and he was mad, you know, because I have no filter. And he said, my mom and dad met in treatment. I said, case closed. So what I'm talking about is that you can't transmit something that you don't have. Yeah. And then when you go to meetings, don't let them, those nasty old timers mess with you. I got enough time for both of us, baby. You know? start yelling, stranger danger. Like we tell the little kid, stranger danger, stranger danger. Because at the end of the day, and I'm not saying everybody is out to lunch, I'm not saying that. But the good stuff is few and far between. And don't get distracted. Because you got to stay on this road for the long haul. See, this is about the long haul, not the short run. You're not going to just get it and got it. You got to work for it. And then you got to work some more. And then you have to work some more. And then after a while, it becomes a lifestyle. And then you begin to like it. And then you will be able to know that I don't even know why I used dope in the first place. Because that's where I am. I don't even know why I did it in the first place. You know, but I did. And if I hadn't have done it, I wouldn't be standing here today. So that was my road. You don't have to stay on your road. You don't have to stay on your road for 20 years. You don't. If you in your 20s, cut your losses now. If you in your 30s, cut your losses now. If you in your 40s, cut your losses now. If you are in your 50s, stay the course. I'm going to say this one thing as I close. We were over in the meal hall. This is one of my LaDonna stories. And this marks what I'm telling you. I knew I was going to stay clean because I had made up my mind before I got here. That last run was terrible. And they used to have a roll call in the morning in the cafeteria. And they give you instructions and they would tell you things like one out of every table will stay clean. And so they do it to work you up, and they did. The little chick, she was young. She was like, doesn't that make you mad? I said, no. She said, why? I said, because you're fucked. Look, I love y'all. I do. I don't know you. I need to say this. If it wasn't for the mics and the wheels and the lanes, I need to tell you, I saw all them get clean. And it's a joy. It is such a joy. Because everybody can't stay. And there was a time when nobody ever asked me back to do anything. This place means the world to me. And I mean that. It doesn't matter. Last time I worked here, I got fired. I can go on and shame the devil and tell the truth. I can. But guess what? That had nothing to do with relationship. Because what it did was it brought me up a little higher. And God took me to a place, and I'm the program director for an outpatient treatment facility. And I've been there 8 years strong. And see, this was like sometimes God got to kick you out of the nest so you can go and be great. You can go and be great. I need to tell you that some of y'all leave here and go be great. Go be great. The world needs us. Everybody's fucked up. So we may as well go and be great. Thank you for letting me share.